The Holy Spirit can touch them on it. But the word and demonstration is awesome. The demonstration of power ends debate. It throws away the rationale of man. It crushes it. So here's this guy in the doorway, and I'm pouring out my heart, and I'm excited like I feel now, and I'm talking aggressive, and I'm sharing testimonies, and I'm preaching and stirring the church. Do you know that it's right to be here and meet together?
Yeah.
But do you know that we're not coming to church? Do you know we are the church? We're not coming to church tonight. We are the church. We're gathering ourselves, the church, together to stir one another up in love and good works. There's a big difference. Come on, there's a mentality that creeps in. We just go to church. Satan could care less if you go to church. Because he figures you might end up religious. He cares when you know you are the church. We don't come to church, we become the church. You follow me? We're equipped. We're qualified. It's crash training course tonight. You'll be released into destiny. You'll be released into the anointing, the convicting power of the Spirit, into love. The love of God through you, into the world around you. We're going to pray that over people that want that tonight. Because we're having fun. My friend Todd over there, it's a little scary when I say this, but he's got a hold of this. 22 years drug addict. He met me. He was suicidal. He didn't want to live. He was hopeless. And he came for answers and was feeling if he didn't get answers, he would end it. Well, he's sitting over there. He didn't end it. Well, actually, he did. He's a mess. He had some atheist people on his ICE route delivering with him because his boss puts the unbelievers with him on the ICE route. And on an average day, there's probably 20 to 30 people healed in the streets of Parisburg delivering ICE.
Hallelujah.
On an average day.
Hallelujah.
It's mind-boggling, isn't it? Now watch. That same Spirit's in everybody here if you're born again. That same calling, same destiny. These signs follow those that, not the specially gifted and specially anointed. I don't come here to you tonight in a healing gift. I don't even claim that. I move in it. I move in word of knowledge, gifts of the Spirit. I'm very aware of them and I want them. But I didn't come here tonight in a healing gift. I came here with a message of the gospel that heals the sick. You got it? We can all believe that message, preach that message, and lay our hands on the sick if we're believers. And it's the gospel, what Jesus accomplished, that heals. I like the gift of healing. I like when He moves in a big way and sweeps His mighty hand and does things. That's cool. That's not what I'm here to preach, and that's not what I'm waiting for. I'm here to stir you up in love and good works and release you and tell you you're already qualified. Okay? I know on a 3-day run, about last week, he was sharing with me with tears, it was close to 100 people in 3 days that confessed to be healed in the streets of Harrisburg. It's happening right here. I could get him up here and share testimonies. It would just, we could go on for hours. Words of knowledge. Words of knowledge are awesome because they bring faith right on the scene. They get people's attention. Not even everybody. You'd be amazed how hard some hearts can be. But you still move in the word of knowledge because God can melt that heart in time. You never fail when you're living by faith. Remember that, okay? You never fail when you're living by faith. Don't weigh outwardly and don't judge outwardly. Judge righteously. You never fail when you're in faith. So you sow into somebody in a word of knowledge and they seem to not receive it. Who knows that God can whack them any time now that you've been obedient? Who knows they can come to their senses? Who knows 3 days later it could hit them? Who knows God can confirm it with another voice and another minister and say the same exact thing? Don't you sell God short. Back to the guard. I didn't forget about the guard. You'll notice something about me. I'll go everywhere and I'll end right. I just will. It's the Holy Ghost. He's good. The guard's listening. I'm telling these testimonies, sharing. Well, we started off the meeting. I got a word of knowledge for a lady, and I asked her to stand up, and I knew what was wrong with her, so I said it. That was God showing what a gift of healing is. She was instantly healed, and then I asked everybody with that situation to stand up, and they all stood up. It was about 15, and I prayed, thinking in my mind, wow, God just wants to spring off of that and heal everybody. So I prayed But my commission in my heart is for the church to begin to activate. Because tonight, if we're the church, we're going to pray for the sick. I'm not going to line everybody up and pray for everybody. I would just do you a disjustice in service tonight if I did that. Because I'd leave here and the folks that got healed, you'd say, wow, man, he's got a real healing ministry. I don't even receive that. I don't see myself having a healing ministry. I'm a trumpet sound stirring the body in love and good works, saying we can all do this. So we're going to pray for the sick tonight, okay? So I prayed corporately. There's 15 people. I prayed in Jesus' name. I said, tell me if anybody feels change. Who's feeling change? Just wave your hand like this. Not one person waved their hand. I was like, ooh. In my heart, I was like, oh, that's amazing because that happened in this. And he said, Dan, I want the body to pray. Isn't that amazing? I was scriptural. I was right to pray. I have a revelation. I'm not bragging. I really do have there's a revelation in me that motivates me. I'm not biting my lip to stir myself up in faith when I wake up in the morning. I wake up a child of God, okay? I wake up loved and accepted and washed. I wake up anointed. It's really fun. And well, it is. That's sure better than looking in the mirror and going, oh. I look in the mirror and go, wow. Yeah, serious. He said, Dan, I want the people to pray. I said, wow, now I see what's going on, folks. I understand what God's doing. He showed us what a gift is, but that's not what I came to minister to you tonight. I came to stir you up, stand up and love your brothers, sisters. Pray for them right now. About 11 people within 3 minutes were healed of whatever they were standing for. Is that cool or what? Now, who knows, when I prayed corporately, God could have went, just heal. It's amazing. He said, I want, so he's trying to teach us. He wants us to all see that these signs follow those that, I might say that 20 times tonight to get it in us. These signs follow those that believe means what? Fully convinced. If there's one thing the church has become is not fully convinced concerning the healing and restoration of the people's lives. We've weighed our experiences against the Word, and we've come up with theories to make us feel better about what we don't understand at the cost of truth. And truth is what sets us free. You follow me? And that's a trap of the devil. I must maintain truth at all costs. What this book says who God is and what God's done. It's the will of God. Okay? So I'm preaching, the guard's there, and I'm preaching, and he gets a chair, and I see him sit. And he's leaning, and he's listening. And I thought, wow, I could perceive when you're ministering, you can see things at times. And I could perceive he was really sincerely listening, and it was making sense. But I might have stretched him a little because of some of the things I shared. So now it's time to pray for the sick. So we preach the Word, demonstrate the Word. No one will preach the Word without demonstrating the Word. All these people came up for prayer, and I got the church up, and it was fun. I was just overseeing, floating around. And a guy waved me over and said, can you help here? Can you talk to us about this? We're not seeing anything. And I said, okay. And the lady said she had never touched her toes since she was born. Something wrong in her hips when she was born. It was stiff and she could only go to here. The guard standing right where that speaker is, or that amp, monitor. He was right there and I'm right here and the lady's right here. So that's pretty close quarters. I said, you can't. And I was like, wow. Who knows when you hear that stuff? It's like, ah. You feel that way, don't you? When you see people hurt. And I said, well, I just said it real bubbly. I said, well, honey, you're touching your toes tonight. And I didn't feel like I was being arrogant or presumptuous. I felt like it was right to say that. And we prayed for her, and she went the whole way down. She's this far from her toes. And I said, come on back up, come on back up. And she kind of looked at me and come up, but I felt like she was trying to get there. And I said, you know you're touching your toes. She said, yeah, I think I was about to. You told me to come up. I said, well, I don't want you to strain. I just want it to happen. I just want it to be grace and God just to see you here. So I prayed for her, and she went right down and touched her toes. First time in her life, probably in her 30s. That's fine. Never, even as a little girl, did she say she touched her toes. So who knows, that's God that did that. So I'm very aware of the guard, and I'm thinking, whoa, that had to get him. So I wanted to turn around and get him. And the Holy Spirit said, leave him alone. I'm working on him. Just leave him alone. You just keep doing what you're doing. I said, okay. I didn't even look back at him, but I could tell he was going, it messed him up. Really? Because if you see that on TV, what's your mind say? Oh, well, he knows the lady. They talked about this in the back, and they got it all staged, and now they're going to want an offering. Come on. Come on. I'm being real. But he's standing there watching this real deal live. He sees there's no pretense. He can tell I don't even know the people. And he can see the sincerity and the power of God, and he's going, whoop. So we go over here, and another guy motions me over, and there's a lady they're praying for. She's got two slip discs, and she's got issues. And I ask her how she'll know if she's healed. She said, well, by the way, I walk. I said, well, let me see you walk. And, I mean, she was like that. So we prayed, and I said, well, let me see you walk. And she went, it's fun. The guard's leaning over there. She went. And she went. And I said, well, do some more stuff, chick. She went, and that must have really meant something to her because she got excited and it was beautiful. So I'm all excited about that, and I kind of forgot about the guard. I really did. Well, there was a man that didn't. He slid over and said, what do you think of this? This is God. The guard said, this is God. He said, I've heard the gospel. I've heard about Jesus, but I'm not living for Jesus. This is God. I need to get right with God. He got born again. Watching the gospel. He said to the guy, he said, do you think they'll pray for me? I've been hurt for about 6 years in my back from firefighting. And I got issues down my back and in my shoulder. Do you think they'll pray for me? He said, I'm sure they will. So they come over and he tapped me and he said, this guy's the guard. I said, yeah. I looked at him and smiled and said, when that lady touched her toes, it tore you up. And I said, and that was it, Dad. When that lady walked out, you're done. He said, I was done. Who sees that's like cool evangelism? That beats sitting with him for 2 hours trying to change his mind. I'm being honest. Trying to tell him he needs to believe what you believe. And then he's thinking, how dare you? Who are you? You know, why don't you believe what I believe? That's called debate. Really gets nowhere. Unless the Holy Ghost really touches what you're saying. Who's ever been in a debate? It's just really a debate. You're trying to change them and they're trying to change you and you can't change them and they're thinking you're a little weird. And do you know what I mean? So he gets born again and we prayed for him. And of course you know what I'm going to tell you happened. And I'm not being presumptuous. The pain's left that man's body. He couldn't find a trace of that injury. And he just, and he had that look of, this is almost too good to be true. And he just grabbed me and hugged me, held the other fella. That was just Monday night. That was fun. Because of what I'm about to talk to you about here, okay? That's why it's happening. And it's not limited to that meeting. It's not limited to this meeting. It's wherever you are, wherever you go, okay? He's been a real inspiration to me, Todd, because he doesn't understand passing up opportunities, so he's helped making me more conscious to think that way when I'm out. I live a little different life than him, but I'm out. I'm still out. I'm out. I pump gas. I'm out. I'm around people. And it's really fun because when I pump gas, I'm looking around and I'm seeing who I can love. It's really fun to walk up to him and just tell him, hey, I see you're hurting. I'd like to pray for you. Would you just let me pray for you? And usually say, sure. And they have no idea how serious you are. They think it's a good gesture. And all they got to do is say, yeah, that's the open door. He had a lady in Harrisburg. He pursued her and pursued her. He's kind of like the man in the middle of the night and the friend for bread. Well, I ain't going to quit knocking until you give me. We need to pray for you. We need to pray for you. So the lady's going in the soup kitchen. And he said, well, that's okay. We're going in there too. She thought they meant we're following you till you let us pray for you. She got frustrated, didn't she? She put her hand on her hip and she stopped and said, okay, well, I can see you're not going to let me go till you pray for me. Just get it over with. True story? She's going like this. Well, just get it over with then. Who can see that if you were God, You might say, eh, maybe we'll just pass over her till her heart's ready. Come on, I'm being real. The mercy of God is amazing. God understands people are deceived. That's why He saved you and me, because He said, that ain't you. Every time you were messing up and living less than your created value, He already knew that wasn't you. He knew you were born into sin and darkness and deception. And His love covers a multitude of sin. And where sin abounds, grace is profuse. And it just abounds more. So here she is, full of attitude. She doesn't understand. And they're like, yes. She let us pray. That's all they're thinking, is she just lets us pray. Is that true? They pray for her and she's instantly healed with that attitude. She's healed. And then her attitude changed. 2 weeks later, they bumped into her, and she's like, hey, guys. And she's all sweet. Probably, bless the Lord. Come on. We've been taught in the church, I'm just going to talk real raw right now. We've been scammed with a lot of little cliches and things we say and we make up about God. We think, what's your name? Jim, stand up here, Jim. We think if Jim's here and he needs prayer, and say Jim doesn't have, I'm just using him as an example, I'm not saying it's true about him, it's just an example. Jim doesn't have a real background in the Word or a real understanding, and his mouth's getting in the way, and you can see he's fearful when he's talking negative, but yet he's a member of the church, or we know he goes to church. And now he wants prayer, and I'm going to pray for him, and he's saying, yeah, man, this thing's really killing me, man. And he's saying stuff, and you're going, oh my God, listen to the words of his mouth. And I don't know if God even wants to heal me, but I hope He does. I mean, maybe you can pray. Here's what we do. We're listening to Him. And all of a sudden, we have five reasons in our mind why He probably is not going to get healed. He has need. He's asking. We're in the position. We pray anyway, because it's the right Christian thing to do. But we're not expecting anything, because He's already disqualified even our faith. And then nothing happens. And we say, well, if he would just get some faith, get some understanding, change his mind, get the fear and negative out of his life, maybe God would touch him. What just happened there? You can sit down. Thank you. What just happened there? We allowed his lack of perception to change the truth and reality of who God is where we're concerned. And we left his unbelief determine ours. Who knows that the whole time he's not believing, God's the same? Who knows that it's my revelation? When Jesus prayed for the sick and all the sick came to him, who had a revelation that he was the Christ? Come on, Peter's the only one that announced it, and Jesus blessed him for it. 3 verses later, he rebuked him because he got in the mind of things of man instead of God. He had the revelation and he was still missing God. But the people didn't understand. Come on, they ended up putting him on a cross. In John 20, or late chapters of John, it says, even though he did so many things, they still didn't believe him. But they were being healed, weren't they? Why? Because of his revelation. Because of his revelation. These signs follow those that has nothing. Watch this, I'm challenging every one of us. It has nothing to do with him. He actually needs what's in my spirit. I become a doorway of power for him because of the Christ in me, the hope of glory. And I can't let a negativity about his life determine what I know about him through my life. Who did Jesus say, go get more faith and you can be healed? Who did he ever tell that to? He affirmed that people were healed by their faith. That was only a handful of times out of a whole lot of examples. Most of the time, if you study your Bible, you'll find he healed him because of love. And faith works through love. And he knew the Father. And he knew the Father's will. And all that came to him. All that came to him. All that came to him. He healed. You can't convince me they had a revelation. He was the Christ and were full of faith. How many people have we prayed for that say, I can't believe it. Yet a man was a Buddhist said, I don't believe in Jesus and I don't believe in healing. Get away from me. You're crazy. He said, well, hey, that's cool. Then just stand still. You have nothing to lose. Just stand still and hold still and let me pray. Isn't that what you said? And the guy's like, get away from me. You're nuts. I'm not nuts. Jesus is Lord. Look, you have nothing to lose then because nothing will happen if he's not real, right? So hold still, pal. Let's see. Isn't that a little change of mind in the church? Wonder if we really do see that clear. I bet we'll get that aggressive. Wonder if love really is what the Bible says it is. I bet faith works through love, and I bet love won't back down in that situation because love knows if you can just break him down and get him to say okay, even with an attitude, God will come. We think these people have to go change first. We're called to bring that change through the demonstration of Jesus and love in their life. Come on. We're going home praying for God to melt their hearts. And we have the opportunity to do that by loving them and praying for them no matter what they're thinking and no matter what they're feeling. We've just seen it too much. We had a guy in that got saved through what we were doing in meetings and things. And then he got so convicted because all we talk about is what we're saying now. He went and prayed for somebody that was a friend of his who was hurting. And he said, look, man, and he told him he was a Christian now. And he said, you know, I want to pray for you. He's like, what? He said, listen, man, I'm born again. I want to pray for you. We're seeing guys get healed. I mean, it's real. These people are getting healed and they're telling us we can pray too. And this guy's just 6 weeks old in the Lord. And he's so convicted, he prays for his old friend. And he prays for him, and he sees us all the time, say, well, check it out, feel it moving. And he says, check it out, feel it. And the guy says, oh my gosh, you know, I don't feel any pain. He said, what? The guy that prayed. What, you're kidding me. You don't have pain? What was happening? All he was doing was obeying the conviction he's been hearing. Obedience is better than sacrifice. God honored his obedience. He so loved the man that had the need. God was excited that he just obeyed. He didn't have a revelation. He just obeyed. He said, oh my gosh, you're kidding me. There's no pain? He said, no. He said, come on, man. Check it some more. Now he's evangelizing unbelief. He's and he's like thinking, you got to still be hurting. And he's checking. And he says, no, man. It's gone. And the guy said, oh my gosh, I don't believe it. You're healed. The guy that prayed, representing Jesus. This thing might not be as complicated as we think. Serious. I know we're laughing, but I'm being real. We might be being taken across. And we might be getting way too involved. We might be thinking way too much. We might be going into it very self-conscious. Weakness conscious. Fearful. And it's all about Jesus in us. Whoa. Come on, is that sinking in a little? It's really about him, isn't it? What are we losing? It's just right to touch people. You say, well, wonder if I don't see anything happen. Don't ever believe nothing happens. You release people in faith if you don't see anything happen. Because these signs shall... So when do you ever say it's not going to happen or it hasn't happened? It's not a cop-out if you're sincere. I can't tell you how many people I could tell you we've prayed for and that night they're going home, the next morning, 2 days, 3 days later, things change if you don't let go. But if the person praying is praying for Jim, and he can't lift his shoulder any higher than this, and I prayed 4 times and he's still like that, if the person praying says, okay, well, man, hey, praise God. I was just hoping, you know, you'd be healed. And you walk away thinking, man, I wish God would have did it. As if he didn't do anything. I'll never do that. We release people in faith. I tell people, look, man, thanks for letting me touch you because I touched you in sincerity and truth and love. And God told me in his word, if I lay hands on you believing, you shall recover. So you lift that arm through the day. If you think about it tonight when you're at home, you check that arm and say, thanks, God, for that man praying for me in Jesus' name. I'm checking my shoulder. Thanks, God. I'll tell people that don't even believe in God, I'll tell them that if I don't see change. And I'm believing. You'd be amazed how many testimonies you get if you just hold on to your faith. If you let go, then you let go. That's simple to understand. If you let go, you let go. I wonder if you don't. We think too much. Who's the head? Who's the head? What are we? Then what are we doing all this thinking for? Come on. We think way too much. What's the body do? It just responds to the head. The head says jump. Right? And the body jumps. Wonder if the head says, go ye therefore and preach, saying, the kingdom of God is here, and heal the sick. And the body says, okay. We say, yeah, but wonder if they don't receive me. Wonder if nothing happens. Wonder if, Come on. I know I'm being funny, but I'm being serious. We think way too much. Get back to this book. Okay? We're the body of Christ. We're created in His image. You know the Bible says we're created in His image? Let me share the scripture and we'll see where we're heading in the Bible. Who knows that Genesis 1 says, God said, let us make man in our image, and in the likeness of God, He created man. That's your original value. That's God's created value for you. You get it? You know what I prayed over the lady that had the slip discs? I never prayed it before. It just came out of my spirit. It was cool because I preach redemption a lot in the garden. I said, you discs, you be restored and back, you be healed and brought back to the place that Adam was when he came up out of the dirt in the breath of God. And the back said, yes, sir. Whoop! I'm telling you. And she walked. Is that cool? Because that's the will of God. It's called redemption. Go to Ephesians 1. Would you please? Feels real different than the way I usually minister tonight. I don't know why, but I hope you're getting little nuggets. I hope there's some things bringing freedom into your thinking and understanding. Is there? Being challenged a little in your spirit? Because we need to be stirred up in love and good works. We need to get out unbelief and get out the fear of man. To preach Jesus. Jesus is willing and ready to move through His people. Amen? See, we're the body of Christ. Ephesians 1. Okay. Let me just start reading. And then I'll stop here at verse 7. But just jump in at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Wow. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. That means every spiritual blessing. And He has blessed us. Whether you realize it or not, it's true. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Where's the kingdom? In you. Don't look here and there running looking for the kingdom. For the kingdom is within you. Wants to come out of you. John 7:38. If you believe in me, as the scriptures say, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Bill Johnson says he's in me for my sake, he's on me for yours. Okay? The well springing up is my eternal life and salvation. The river that flows out is the anointing that crushes the work of the devil. You get the difference? The well springing up is everlasting life. The river that flows out is the anointing of ministry. But it only flows if I believe in Him, as the scriptures say. Whoa. Come on. The river's there, but it only flows if I'm fully convinced according to Him and what He said. See, we're His body. We're the expression of Christ on the earth. Christ, the anointed one. We've been saying, you know, Mary and Joseph, their last name isn't Christ. Mary and Joseph, Christ. Jesus, the man anointed by God. Whoa. And the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells. Why? So we can do the same things. Because in John 20:21, He said, as the Father sent me, just as the Father sent me. 1 John 2 says, if you say you abide in Him, you ought to walk even as He walked. Well, how'd He walk? Whoa. Anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, healing all who are oppressed of the devil, doing a whole lot of good. Isn't that cool? See, we're not called to go to church. We got trapped going to church. Trying to look for better services, better atmospheres, better corporate anointings. What a great service. Wow, wasn't the presence of God wonderful? Who knows? I'm into all that. If it's imparting to us and releasing us to go ye therefore. We don't go to church. We are the church. Come on. That's a huge switch to turn. Millions of churches and millions of people going to church. And we've lacked the revelation of Christ. We've thrown the will of God around like a hot potato. Do you know that to believe means fully convinced? So if I pray for the sick, believing, I have to have already established in my heart it's the will of God to heal. Whether I've seen people healed, whether I prayed for a cancer patient and watched them die, I still have to establish through the Word, and I didn't say that insensitively, I'm making a point. I still have to establish through the Word that it's God's will no matter what my experience. Because His 9 disciples prayed for an epileptic boy, and he wasn't cured. And Jesus said, your boys, your minds go corrupt. Produces unbelief. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring the boy to me. What was he saying? He's saying, look, boys, I anointed you. I imparted to you. I sent you out 2 by 2 7 chapters ago. And you saw it all happening. And this is no different. And you got your mind spinning. And you've stepped out of that place of faith and belief. And you need to get a grip because I'm going soon. How long shall I be here? I'm about to pass the baton to you. Now, come on, guys. Bring the boy to me. Would he talk to his disciples like that if they couldn't heal, if they had no ability to heal him? Would he have ever corrected them if they couldn't have done it? But when they prayed, it didn't happen. I'm not being smart. Our brilliant minds say, well, it's obvious God heals some and doesn't heal all. We think because Bob lives and Bill dies, God heals some and doesn't heal all. That's not what Jesus said in his word. He said our minds are... So you see it with your eyes, you feel it with your sentiments, and you start praying from the position of need and fear and desperation and concern instead of praying from the position of covenant and anointed and called by God and authority and say to the mountain, and it'll move. We get told we have cancer and we're going to die, and we turn to God and pray from the perspective of a dying man. We call a friend and say, please pray for me, I just came from the doctor and got a terrible report. And Isaiah's saying, who shall believe the report of the Lord? Your identity's not for sale. Don't let it be up for grabs. Don't let it be for sale. A doctor can tell me I have cancer and it can be on the MRI and it could actually be in my body. Who knows? I'm still a child of God, spirit-filled with every promise, yes and amen, and I say to the mountain, be removed. You get it? Man, I believe this gospel, I'm telling you. It's just the Word. Gotta believe. You protect your identity because He paid precious blood to give it to you. Don't you sell it out to fear. Don't you sell it out to natural knowledge. Don't you sell it out to a medical diagnosis. Don't you sell it out to a physical experience. You press the Word against what you're going through. You can't let what's happening determine who He is. Because who He is in place to determine what's happening. And we reverse it all the time. We let our circumstances define God when God's in place to define our circumstance. Come on. I see many people pray from the platform of fear. Faith does not work through fear. Faith does not work through need. A lot of people pray because of need. You pray because of love. You pray because God loves you. And He paid a precious price for you. And you are in the position of covenant no matter what you're going through. Your mind saying you're slipping. Your mind saying you're being crushed. Your mind saying you're losing. And this book says you've already won. And you've got to declare the word of the Lord. You get it? Yeah. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him. We didn't choose Him. He what? He chose us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That's who we are right now, whether you realize it or not. I'm standing in the presence of God right now as if I've never sinned or eaten a tree. I'm brought back to original value through the blood of Jesus Christ. God doesn't see me for sin. He sees me for His Son. That's why I'm a very happy fellow. I'm telling you, there's not an ounce of condemnation in my life. You can't sell it to me. You can't talk me into it. You'll never see me guilty or ashamed. Almighty God has washed me clean and filled me with His own holy presence. That's a good day, people. Come on. It's good tidings of great joy. But you can look at the church and tell that we don't understand that, because we let life consume us, traffic consume us, stress consume us, what people are saying and thinking and doing consume us. And yet the Savior died innocent on the cross to set us free and put us back in the presence of God. Come on. I'm talking straight. So we got to deny that old thing and deny ourselves and deny that old inherited nature through sin. None of that is God's will. Everything we became through Adam is not in our inheritance or our original value. It's not normal or natural for me to be jealous, insecure, rejected, self-conscious. It's not even normal. It's not in my created value. But it's what we've been all our lives, and we think it's the way we are. It's the way we became when man ate the tree. That's why we put off the old and we put on the new. And I just like the new because I'm right with God. See how flaky it makes me? I'm telling you, I'm right with God. Can sin in the presence of God co-inhabit? Then how can God live in you if it's about sin? Whoa. It's about God, and He lives in us. Sin is crushed. It's lost its voice and its power, but we just don't see that. So we live by sin consciousness. We allow the curse of sin and the law of sin and death to slip in and eat our lunch, and we create theology to accept it instead of crush it and not accept it and go after it. And a lot of times we're praying like this, if we'd be honest. We're not praying from the place of revelation. We're not praying from the place that this is not the will of God, this is the will of God, and we are the ambassadors, and we represent the kingdom, and you bow out now because He is Lord. We say those things, but our motivation isn't revelation, authority, covenant. It's usually need and fear, and I'm not being condemning, I'm being real. Because His own disciples got trapped in it. Don't think if they did walking with Jesus every day that we don't get trapped in it. Don't think if He needed to talk to them like that He's not talking to us like that. Because when they came and asked Him point blank, why couldn't we heal the epileptic boy? That's a pretty straight question. Who knows Jesus isn't playing charades? He said, your unbelief. You talk like that in the church today, you ruffle feathers, people get offended and say, but we did believe in da-da-da-da, and take it personal. And you can hardly, we're so sensitive, it's hard to even preach the truth sometimes. Because you hurt people because of their experience. I've had some tough ones. Man, I've stood with people, I've prayed for people I love, and I've watched them die. You know what it does? It throws me back in this Word and in my bedroom and on my knees and on my face because I know the Word is true. And God, if You'll just fill me more and consume me more and flood my heart more, we'll win more of these battles. Because it is Your will to get them up. It's the truth. You get it? Don't you turn tail and run. Don't you back off. Don't you get rational and intellectual. Please don't. Because we only got that way when we ate the tree, the knowledge of good and evil. Before they ate the tree, they could only think one way and see one way. All they knew was God and the Word of God. Until the voice spoke from the snake, all they ever knew was God and God's Word. There was no other option. When they submitted to the option, they became subservient to the option. And we've been hearing the lie ever since. We've been hearing the two voices ever since. Truth, lie, truth, lie. And it's amazing how God can say, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, through the Son. And the other voice can say, well, you're not lovely because of this and because of that and because of them and because of this and because of your childhood and because of that. And we go, And God screaming, I love you, through a naked Son on a cross, beaten, battered. I love you, I love you, I love you. And we're going, well, I don't know if God can love me. I'm not mad at anybody. I just wonder why we listen to the snake when He is Almighty God. We worship Him in our worship and praise. Let's worship Him in our obedience. And if you said you love me, then you love me, and loved I shall be. If you say I'm forgiven, then I'm forgiven, and you'll never see me condemned again. because your word is true. And any voice to take me to a lesser place is not from you. Come on. That's the truth. I'm questioning how much we really are believing this book. If we're not careful, we'll be found in the end just to have incorporated Him into our life in hopes of a better life in heaven. He's taken over our life so we can manifest Him and crush what was crushing us. You get it? It's the truth. Man, you're getting... Is this making sense? I feel real passionate. I always do. I'm not apologizing for it. I'm just not trying to overwhelm anybody or scare you. It's true. It's true. See, I was on the strings of the day. I was a puppet for 33 years bound in religion and hypocrisy. God came and had mercy on me. And I ain't getting on them strings no more. I love to see the strings cut. Yay. Amen. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. See, if the presence of God is in you, that means the presence of sin isn't, the judgment of sin isn't. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ, Romans 8:2, has made me free from the law of sin and death. God has so crushed sin through the Son of God that sin has lost its voice, its power in our lives, if we'll just see that. That's the secret place we abide in and therefore dwell under the shadow of Almighty. A lot of times when we go through a struggle and feel sick, if I'd get a show of hands and you'd be honest, you'd agree with this. We start feeling sick and the first thing we do is get introspective and wonder what we're doing wrong, what's wrong with our life and where we're missing it, why we ain't in faith. And it shows insecurity. It shows that we aren't established in our identity and relationship with God. And we start grabbing for straws when we need to be restored and delivered. And grabbing for straws will never produce faith. It actually shows that you really don't know. How about this one? When you pray, if it be your will concerning healing, what we're saying is the God we're calling on, we don't even know for sure. And it's a very impersonal prayer. We're just hoping He shows up and He's good to us today. Well, He has showed up. He sent His Son to take our place. And then He sent His same Spirit and put Him in us. I don't think this thing is charades and mystery. I think we've just failed to accept it, embrace it, and charge. You know the rock, the revelation, the Christ? Peter said, you're the Christ, the rock, and the gates of hell. I'll build my church in this revelation. And the gates of hell won't prevail. That's because we're to be aggressive. We're to plunder hell. We're to bust through the gates, and the gates can't hold the church back if we'll just see who we are. Instead, we're running from Satan as if he's unscrewed or hinged his gates and he's chasing us with his gate. Look, I'm running hard and fast, but I'm confessing the word and he's swinging at me, but he ain't hitting me, bless God. The gates of hell aren't prevailing against me, bless God. That is not the interpretation of the scripture. The gates of the city is where you enter to take over the city. And they would storm the gates. Armies would come and storm the fortified cities. They'd bust through the gates. You've seen the old movies. They'd take the big old logs and all the people and they'd run and they'd bang on the gates. And all the people on the inside. Oh! And sooner or later, them gates, if it was a good movie. Right? They'd bust open. So here we are, plundering hell. The gates of the city can't hold us back. Because all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me, said Jesus, and you go in my name. What's he doing? He's giving you the authority and power of his name. We just need to be increased in this revelation. So I humbly tell you that I've stuck with people and prayed, and I've seen them healed, and then I've watched some die. I don't like it at all. I mean it. I've cried. I've done funerals of people that I've believed for. Or prayed for. And I won't even give my mind permission to indulge in what I can't figure out or understand because I'm protecting that which has already been established. I can't let what I don't understand chip away and take away what I already know. You get it? So I keep moving in what I know, because I'm going from faith to faith and glory to glory. And I ain't backing down. So I get my hands right back on the cancer. You foul thing, get out of them. You're not the will of God. And I'm coming off of what feels like defeat, but in Him is victory. It's only true defeat if I back up, because I'm the one on the earth representing Christ, and so are you. And if you're running in fear, if you're running in skepticism, if you're running in lack of understanding or lack of discernment or lack of revelation, then we're hindering the power of God. We're waiting for the move of God, and it's in our spirit. We are actually the move of God. We're waiting for God to come, and He already has. He's impregnated our spirit. And He has given us a charge. Go, preach, say, my kingdom is here. The King's domain is here. So you grow from faith to faith. So you see this lady, she can hardly walk, and she's just walking. Who knows, that's beautiful. What's it do to you? Builds you up. And say, it gets you. Todd, wherever he went, he's probably out praying for somebody. He's fine. He sees so many necks, backs, knees, and things healed that when he hears somebody says, oh, it's my back, he's like, he goes like, oh, man, okay. Like almost like he's happy they're hurting, you know. And he doesn't mean that. It's just that there's so much of a percentage that we just see healed instantly. Now, who knows, we want to grow into that same revelation no matter what the problem. Because it's no different to God, is it? What happened to the disciples? They're praying for the epileptic boy. Jesus is on the mountain. Twisted thinking. Unbelief came from perverse thinking. Corrupted-minded thinking. That's what the thing is. We became corrupted-minded when man ate the tree, the knowledge of good and evil. So now we've got multiple choice going on here. When the Bible says if we look with a single eye, our whole vessel's filled with light. So my perspective is huge. My belief system is incredibly important. You get it? What you believe makes things either possible or impossible. We had a heavy question. I thought it was an intriguing question because it's all in the church came up. And I'm not asking you to agree or disagree. Just hear my heart. Because I believe this. This is a personal belief. They said, well, I'm always taught that you be careful who touches you because you don't know what's in them and where they're from and their background and what's in them could get into you. And my answer was, if you believe that. Your belief is the gateway. But if you believe that's not possible, then it's not possible. Because you believe greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. And the gospel doesn't have an ounce of fear or vulnerability or look over your shoulder. You get it? So wonder if you're not being arrogant. Wonder if you're not being presumptuous. And you just happen to believe you are under the shadow of Almighty God. And light is greater than darkness. And how is darkness? Who ever walked in a bright room and said, man, could somebody turn up the darkness? If something got darker, it's because somebody turned down the light. And Satan fears the light because he's utterly dark. And light crushes him. So he wants darkness in us. In our thinking, in our soul, in our vocabulary. Light is greater than darkness. And I can hear the words of Jesus saying, and ye are the light of the world. So let your light so shine that men, remember the guard? That men see your good works and glorify the Father. Arise, shine, church. Your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the light is upon you. Darkness is never the problem. It's our failure to perceive the light that's in us. Get it? See, I come from a place, you say, man, you're just a little too passionate. Why are you that passionate? Well, I had a doctor tell me they were going to amputate my leg. I watched my wife on life support and a ventilator, and the doctors had the EEG and said she was severely brain damaged. I kissed her goodbye on the way here. She's 100% fine. You get what I'm saying? You say that's unfair to talk like that because everybody didn't get that response and that answer. We already covered that. I can't let my lack of experience change the Word of God. I continue to press the Word of God till my experience comes into agreement. And I'm just thankful and boast in the Lord in the fact, not in an insensitivity to those who didn't see the result I saw, but I must proclaim from the platform in which I believe. Fearless, convinced. I preach this gospel all the time. 27 things on my calendar just in the month of July. That's how many places I go in July. 27 till the month's over, I've preached this gospel. So I do that all the time for 12 years, and all of a sudden my wife, boom, violent seizure, and there she lays. EEG, brain damage, severe. So what do? Pray, believe, and receive. You believe the gospel you preach every day. You don't fear. It's not time to say, why God, how God, what's going on God, what are you doing God? He's not doing nothing. It's the enemy. He steals, kills, destroys. But I've come to give you life, and life more abundantly. Who sees the separation of that? The thief comes not but to steal, kill, destroy. But I have come for life and life more. So the proposal of life, the promise of life is mine to pursue always. Always. I believe that way, and I've lost friends to cancer praying by their bedside. But you can see that didn't affect me now that my wife's laying there. Wonder if that's my influence. Now I'm praying in need. Desperation, because this is my wife been praying insecurely, even though I'm saying all the right stuff. Come on. Even though I'm quoting all the right, and I sound to you like I'm praying the Word. But down in my heart, God, I hope she doesn't die. I remember what happened to Bill. God, I can't believe this is happening. God, you've got to get her up, God. It goes through us. It happens. It happened to the disciples. Because he said their minds twisted on them. They stepped out of the revelation of who he was, therefore the revelation of who they became. So I imagined he's on the mountain with Peter, James, and John. Are we okay, guys? They're on the mountain with Peter, James, and John. Or Jesus is, and the nine disciples are remaining, and there's a problem. The daddy brought the boy to them because if Jesus isn't around, who better to go to? Put yourself in the disciples' shoes. Jesus is walking around. What can I do for you that I might receive my sight? Well, then see. Hey, take your bed and walk. Stretch forth your hand. Stop that funeral procession. Son, get up. And the disciples are probably like... And then one day he says, listen, I'm sending you in my name. Go two by two. And you know the whole scenario. And he says, now go. Preach saying the kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. And they went. And they came back in Luke 10 going, right? Come on, that's true. 7 chapters later, they're praying for an epileptic boy. Why would the dad bring him to the disciples in the first place? Because word's been around. They've already been out two by two. Who knows how many people they've prayed for in the midst and seen people healed because they've been given and delegated authority in Jesus' name. Do you know there was a man along the way, and the church doesn't talk about this too much. There was a man along the way, they seen him over there casting out spirits in Jesus' name, and he wasn't even yet crucified. I don't know who the guy was, but he had to have a serious revelation, and they said, should we stop him? He said, no, let him go. He said, nobody can do a good thing in my name today and soon there'll be against me. Just let him go. Jesus wasn't even crucified, and there was a guy that had a revelation that he was the Christ and was casting out evil spirits in his name. And he wasn't even crucified. So don't get religious. And don't think you have to be with somebody to minister, even though that's healthy and good because Jesus sent them two by two. But who knows if you're going to the store and you're alone, you're qualified to give them Jesus. Who knows Jesus was alone at the well with the woman? Who knows that this man was casting out spirits and Jesus didn't say, well, you know, you better stop him because he doesn't have a partner. Come on. There's a lot of little religious things that crept into church to stop love and stop the power of God. I'm not saying it's not a wise thing to go two by two, but who knows if you're alone in the move of God's there. Just Philip went to Samaria. Come on. Don't get religious. Amen. Look at this. I got to finish. We're going to do Ephesians 2. There's something I got to get to real quick, and then we'll just start praying for each other. But you're getting something out of this. Is this motivating? Is this stirring you? Listen, we're qualified to reach out and pray for the sick. Those disciples prayed for that epileptic boy. That daddy would not have brought. I know I'm still preaching in Matthew 17. You can turn there if you want, but you don't have to. I'm just summarizing some stuff. I want to make some points to help you and help me, because I feed on this stuff. Because I've been in that position before. I don't like when I pray and don't see it happen. I just don't like it. It's not my birthright. You ever been in a hopeless situation? And it grates on you. And you feel helpless and you hate it. You know why? It's not your created value. You weren't created to be helpless. You were created to subdue. It's right in your Bible. And Jesus is the redemption of all things. He's brought us back to original value, as if man never fell. That's deep. We're still so sin conscious and flesh conscious, and we're so busy in the church saying, well, you know, we're never perfect. Well, we're always going to miss it. Well, you know, Jesus is the only one that ever, we'll never be like him, praise God.
My Bible says, as he is, so are we. Not by my choice, not because one day I woke up and said, you know, I think I'm going to be like God. Because he said so. Now that's a big deal. Because God said so. God looked at me and said, you're a son through the Son. And if you're a son, you're an heir of me and a joint heir with my Son. Now you go and you preach saying, the kingdom of God is here. That's the king's domain. It's here. Heal the sick. In Luke 10, he said, just go out and heal the sick. I could bicker all day with God. God, I can't heal the sick. It's you that heals the sick. I can't heal nobody. And yet God says, go heal the sick. But God, you know I can't heal anybody. It's you. But you go heal the sick. But God, don't you understand, Dan? I'm one with you. I'm in you and you're in me. And when you go, I go. And when you touch, I touch. And when you speak, I'm speaking, because you're in me and I'm in you. Now you go heal the sick. Because two have become one. You hear how cool God is? He's trying to get it into us. I've qualified you. I've sent you. I'm cheering you on. Don't be caught in false humility. Just say yes to the gospel and manifest my glory. We're so busy telling everybody what we're not and what we'll never be and why we'll never be it. And we think that's some kind of trophy or something. See how quick I smile. I'm a ball of emotions. I am. But it's good. I'm not offended with anybody. I don't like deception. I don't like deception. It robs us. That daddy brought them boys to the disciples, and would they have even tried to pray if they didn't think they could? They'd have just said, look, the master's not here. He'll be back soon. Just chill over there. Come on. That's how I think. I read my Bible. I'm thinking real simple. They wouldn't even pray if they didn't think they could. Jesus would have never corrected them if they didn't have the power or authority. And Jesus would have never healed the boy if it wasn't the will of God. Because he was the will of God. And he only did what he heard or did what he saw and said what he heard. So for him to heal the boy, it means it was the will of God. But yet when they prayed, he didn't get healed. Ugh. So that's learned from that. Let's learn from that and be humble. I said, Lord, I need to understand. He said, well, perverse thinking, unbelief, twisted thinking. It causes unbelief. I imagine the boys' season, okay, and they're praying. Who's ever been in a situation where there's something visual? Okay? And you're not seeing any change. And the first thing to trigger is your mind. It doesn't feel like there's any anointing. It doesn't feel like there's change. My God, I prayed my best prayer and nothing happened. Oh, God, I don't know. We're not going to get this one. I'm in trouble now.
I guess I'll just smile graciously and say, well, God bless you. I don't know what we do. Come on, who knows what I'm talking about? You go to pray for somebody and your mind is just your worst enemy. It's just there going, yuck, 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 yuck. This ain't going to happen. Who do you think you are? You ain't never seen this kind of thing happen anyway. Why are you even praying for this? Crazy stuff goes off in your head. Come on. I'm being straight. It happens to me. And I'm like, so they're praying for this boy, and this boy's seizing because he has epilepsy. And I imagine he's still seizing, because to say he wasn't cured means he's still seizing. If he'd have stopped seizing, they'd have had reason to believe maybe he was cured. But for the Bible to say he wasn't cured, it means he never stopped the seizure. Does that make sense? So the more he's seizing and the more they're praying, now their consciousness is on what's not happening instead of what wants to happen. And now their motivation is lack and losing and striving to... All of a sudden we try to pray a different way, change the tone of our voice. We do a lot of stuff. Put myself in their shoes and had compassion on them fellas, because they're running with Jesus, and Jesus is just boom, 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 boom. And now this guy's still seizing. And I imagine they said, you know, wonder why he's not getting healed. I wonder why he's still seizing. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they thought, my God, it looks like he's even shaking worse. Who's ever prayed and it got worse? Talk to Jairus. He came and his daughter was about to die. Till Jesus got there, she was dead. And what did Jesus say, our teacher and master, in the face of death? Don't you fear, Jairus, only believe. And he raised the little girl up. That's heavy. You know what he was saying? Did you come to me and did I say yes? Then don't let what you're experiencing change my yes, because I didn't change my yes. I'm still a yes. And he raised her from the dead. As soon as he heard him say, leave the teacher alone. Quit believing, guys. If God was going to heal, he'd heal by now. Come on. We say that stuff. Leave the teacher alone. Your daughter's dead. He wheels to Jairus and says, Jairus, don't you be afraid. Only believe. Only stay fully convinced, because I came to you, or you came to me and I said, yes. Aren't we on the way to your house? What, is her dying changed me? Am I still the Lord? You know, he groaned at Lazarus' tomb and was troubled in his spirit, because he's the resurrection and the life, and all they could see was the death. And he's standing there trying to tell him, I'm going to raise him up, and all they could see was the death. And there's standing life right in the midst of them. And we think he wept because he was sad that Lazarus died and sad that they were sad. He cried because he was face to face with the deception of fallen humanity, that the very essence and presence of life was in their midst, and he was declaring it, and they couldn't see it because death was reigning over life in their soul. Come on. He says it right in there. He groaned and was troubled in his spirit, because he's trying to tell Martha and she's fallen at his feet. He's trying to tell Mary and she's fallen at his feet. If you'd have only been here. If you'd have only. I tell you, I am the resurrection and the life. He goes and says, roll away the stone. You think if they had any revelation, they'd have said, sure thing, man, I was waiting for that. Instead, surely he stinketh by now. And he says, didn't I tell you, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? That phrase right there is beneath. If you would just believe, if you just stay fully convinced and don't let what you're feeling, experiencing, and going through change your mind. I drug my leg around for 11 days. Doctor wanted to take it off. See why I am the way I am? Because I've been through this. I'm not just some hotshot guy coming in here trying to put on a show. I watched my wife on a ventilator open her eyes and come awake. I watched it. I went in the next day to see her sitting up unhooked and said, just because of the trait thing. Hi, honey. I said, hi, baby. Jesus is Lord. Man. That one got me. I feel a little emotional right now. 11 days. Wonder if 5 days into it, I start grabbing for straws. Wonder if 10 days into it, I start questioning what I believe. Wonder if I start listening to some of my good Christian friends that are telling me all kinds of other stuff. Yeah, I'm going there a little. Hold on tight. Take me into Sunday school when I'm a little kid and pray on my innocence and tell me all these Bible stories and get me to sit there and go, wow, wow. And then when I'm old enough to believe them, you tell me to find balance and chill out and get wisdom. If I'm believing God, you leave me alone. If you can't encourage my faith and add to my faith, don't even talk to me. And I'm not mad, I'm not mean, I'm not saying that's smart. What I'm saying is, don't you be a cheerleader of unbelief when somebody is truly in faith. Don't you come and say, well, brother, you better use wisdom when your trust and faith is in God. And if that's my prerogative and you say, well, I'm not in wisdom, let time tell. And I'll answer before God. But don't take the talk of me out of faith. Because people are telling me I'm in spiritual pride and I'm ashamed to go to the doctor and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. They had no clue what was going on in my heart. They had no clue the war I was engaged in and the tenacity that's in me by the Holy Ghost. They had no clue of the reverence that I have for the blood and name of Jesus Christ. So don't you try to tell me what's going on inside of me because you looked on the outside. Because I'm in a war. And if you can't hold my arms up and cheer me on and get behind me and stand with me, then keep your distance because I'm fighting. Because I'm fighting to win. I'm telling you. I drug my leg for 11 days. So I guess I've been in that fire, huh? How are you going to know he's the Lord of the fire unless you've been in the furnace? See, I'm not preaching theory to you. I'm preaching revelation. I've been in the fire. I watched my wife in the lion's den. I watched God close their mouth. Man, I'm a happy guy. So you got to understand that. I'm not coming here with no Christian experience. I watched burns disappear off my wife's hand in the kitchen after grease burned her. My kids watched with their mouths open wide as the burns and blisters vanished from her hand. That'll get in you and mark you. Don't try to talk me out of the power of God. I've experienced it. It's available. It's on the earth in the Holy Ghost. How are you going to argue with a man with that kind of experience? You're going to hold up against him one of the cancer patients he prayed for that died? No, I'm going to say, what about all these things that happened? I could pray for 15 cancer patients, watch 14 of them die, and see one live. And guess what? One lived. We're on to something here. Let's gain momentum and keep on trucking because one lived. And if we keep on going, who knows, more can live. And glory to God, after a while, we have such a revelation, we're just crushing this foul, lying spirit called cancer. But if we let notoriety build in our hearts and we start fearing it and we start taking to the sentiment of our heart the tragedy and the pain that we've seen it do to the ones that we love, and then we start seeing it with honor and respect and fear, we've just given it more power. It's a lying spirit. Jesus has crushed it through his blood, and we just need the revelation. It's truth. Satan's a little snake in the garden, cursed to crawl in the belly all the days of his life and eat dust. And in Revelation, he's a seven-headed dragon coming up out of the sea. Where did he get all that power? Because God didn't give it to him. Man gave it to him. Because for generations, we feared him and worshipped him and honored him. And he became a little cursed snake in the eyes of God. And in our minds, he's a huge seven-headed dragon. Who knows? He's still a cursed snake on the belly. He gets Christians to say, well, we're just little worms in the dirt. He's the worm in the dirt. He loves when you take on his identity. He's hopeless. He can never repent. He loves when Christians become hopeless because he's making them just like him. He loves when Christians fear because he's freaked out with fear because he's wondering if the trumpet's going to shout in a moment. He's wondering if the sky's going to split. He's wondering if the master's hand is going to grab him by the neck and throw him into the lake of fire. And he loves you to be in fear because he's freaked out with fear. He lives in darkness and he loves to usher you there. What do you say? We go there and shine the light. You see what I'm saying? Come on. I'm not talking. I'm talking through the experience of my life. It is truth. and it'll make you free. And it's in the face of failures. What I'm telling you, I've seen defeats. I don't like them. I talked to this family. They lost their son not long ago, a year. And I bless your heart for your what you said to me over there. He didn't hear it, but... And who knows, there's physical loss and tears, and there's pain in losing a child. But there's honor and integrity in releasing them to Christ and rejoicing and celebrating and staying thankful and pressing on because of the loss, all the more to see victory, all the more because of the loss. They have all the more incentive to go after God, not to draw back and say, what about my son? But to say, what about my son? And go after the answer for another person's son. Don't ever forget, God gave His son for many sons. And if a son is lost, what do you say? We let that be incentive to springboard us to the saving of many sons. Bless you. Bless you for your attitude and your perspective. How many people are hurt and mad at God because they took their pain personal instead of letting it springboard them to more aggression in the Holy Ghost? Come on. Don't you sit here and be mad at God. You're greatly deceived. He sent His Son to die for us when we were dead. He surely isn't sitting by flagrantly watching us get crushed. He gave us His Word, and He wants us to get the Word in us and live by it. Okay? I got to wrap up. We got to be done. Yeah, I got to wrap up. We got to be done by 10 probably, and I'm not trying to push. I'm not getting religious. Don't anybody intercede for me. I'm trying to be gracious and courteous because there's a restraint on the building and I'm way late and they got to pack up and we need to love them too. Who believes what I'm preaching is true? Honestly believes it's true. Did it edify your spirit? Did it stir you up? Okay, listen. I'm going to do this and I'm not doing this cheaply. God honors this. I do it a lot this way. Jesus is with you. And wherever you go, He's with you. And after tonight, I'm believing, we're believing. I know Todd and Bob and John back in the corner, we can be in agreement right now that an increased conviction comes on our lives tonight after we pray that you will be recognizing and aware of the opportunities around you. You will actually see the hurting. You will see the pain in people's lives. You won't be preoccupied. You won't be too in a hurry. You will actually see the opportunities for the kingdom to shine through your spirit. You don't need a word of knowledge. You just need to see somebody's hurting. And you slide over to them after tonight with a conviction and say, you know, I was just hoping you let me pray for you. I see you're in trouble. You don't even have to tell them nothing. You don't have to, if they give you a debate and say, well, I don't believe, well, I believe this is my thorn and I believe that, you just say, well, that's fine. Can we pray? Don't you debate with nobody. You want to get to the point of prayer. When you pray specific but brief. Pain, you come out of them. Infirmity, come out of them. In Jesus' name, be healed. Do this in your everyday life and watch and see what God does, right? Watch and see what God does. 4 months old in the Lord over there, coming to our meetings. He told them up at the conference, all I know, I sit under Pastor Dan and all I know is what he's teaching. And they were like, oh, praise God, bless your heart. Because a lot of us feel like we got to unlearn stuff. And he's born again. He's in a round-the-clock diner, watches a man leave without his cane. Totally healed. And 4 months old in the Lord, had 2 hernias go closed under his hand. Seeing the power of God because this is all he knows and thinking he's getting brainwashed by the Holy Ghost, brainwashed by the Word of God, washed by the water of the Word. He's getting out of his mind and out of some of our minds and getting into the mind of Christ. You get it? Bless you, Bob. Keep running, man, in the Holy Ghost. So we're going to pray for an increased conviction. I'm just going to pray for an outpouring of grace and anointing and that God would destroy self-consciousness and the condemnation and the low esteem that has tried to plague some people in this room. I'm telling you face to face, you are worthy. You are qualified. You are anointed if the Holy Ghost is in you. To reach out beyond yourself, your own needs, and give and love and serve humanity with this gospel. Okay? It's a big deal. Because once they're healed, then you can tell them, here's one that happens to me. It's happened to me a lot in the last few weeks. They say to me after I pray for them, man, how did you do that? What did you do? And I say, do you ever hear them say, what did you do? Here's what the Lord's telling me to say. Look, friend, I didn't do anything. 2,000 years ago, somebody did. His name is Jesus. And then I tell them the love of God through Jesus Christ. It's good, isn't it? It's fun. If you're serious about this impartation, I want you to stand to your feet if you're serious about this impartation. That doesn't mean you have to. If you have questions about what I'm preaching or you're not sure about things, that's fine. And I realize there's two people right now in wheelchairs. You stand in your heart right now. We'll be praying for you in a moment. And we'll be praying for you, young man, in Jesus' name. I want you to lift your hands to heaven. I'm going to pray a prayer of impartation. Grace is going to fill the room. And God's going to just impart what we pray right now over you as the church, because this is a big deal to the Holy Ghost. This is as important, what we're doing right now, as the sick being healed. Do you understand that? Because through this revelation, many sick are healed. And if you multiply the believers that are standing in this room right now by the many that can be healed through this revelation, it's profuse. Do you get it? It's really, really intense. I just told who I was talking to, I've seen 100 people healed in probably the last 4 days. I don't know how many Todd's seen, but he's probably seen that too. So there's just 2 people and 200 healings. Wow. How about that revelation dropping in our hearts and that anointing increasing right now? You all ready to receive? Look up to Jesus. It's not coming through me. It's not even through my prayer. It's the grace of God that will impart to you. Father, right now we present ourselves to you, living and holy sacrifices, acceptable unto you. It's our reasonable service of worship. We're not conformed any longer tonight to the world, to menial thinking, but we're transformed by the word of the Lord. And we have proved in our heart by the word of the Lord what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Father, I pray your grace right now on every person standing with their hands raised before you. I pray for an impartation right now of the anointing of heaven. Increase right now. Increase and rise above the fear of man, above self-consciousness, above discouragement. Right now, Lord God, I ask you to infuse every person in this place with a revelation of your love that rises above any human or flesh thing. That, Lord God, I declare it would be literally impossible because of the pressing on the inside of the heart, the pressing on the inside of the mind to talk ourselves out of what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and revealing in our everyday life. Like never before, we will see with our eye and look and see the need of humanity. And we will love and we will care and have concern and step beyond ourselves and see the glory of God. Father, I pray for love to consume us. You created us in your image and you are love. And we are anointed to be the manifestation of the love of God. And Father, we release that right now. And we thank you that revelation rises above selfishness, rises above human preservation. We empty ourselves and unleash ourselves before you now to become vessels of honor and vessels of your glory to reveal your great name. And Father, I thank you for the impartation right now of courage and confidence. The Spirit of the Lord truly, truly is upon us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I want you to hold the hand of the person beside you, not in the middle aisle, but beside you, right beside you. Hold the hand of the person. I just see something. I've never done this before, but Father, we just right now pray for impartation into the body of Christ. And I just thank you, Lord God, right now, in the name of Jesus, for the impartation, God, of your Spirit through the body of Christ. We join hands as a sign of unity and oneness. We are the people of God, and we receive right now the grace of what you're saying, the truth of what you're saying. And Lord God, we thank you for what you're imparting to our lives tonight. Thank you. We'll never be the same. We can't be the same. We're changed by your grace into your image for your glory. Lord God, impartation to every person in this place. And Father, we thank you for it right now. We thank you, God, in Jesus' name, for our lives changed forever. No more insecurity, no more hesitation, no more speculation, but a fire. Let it burn. Let it burn, God. Let the fire burn in the heart of your people. And let our lives be changed for your glory forever in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. Just lift your hands and say thank you. Just receive that. Just, you don't have to clap. Don't clap. Just thank God right now. I receive it. I'm your child. I'm your child anointed for your good pleasure. I'm a vessel of love. I'm a vessel of glory and power. Glory to God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Amen. Now look at this. I know it might seem like I'm rushing. It's not. I just want to be gracious to the people in the building here. It's not that we have to be a long time. We want to touch every person that has sickness in their body tonight. But what I want is, I want people